In his inaugural address, President Bush made sweeping promises to support democracy movements around the world and to help them stand up to tyrannical leaders. NPR's Michelle Kellerman takes a look at how that rhetoric matches up with reality.
President Bush's inaugural speech was music to the ears of so-called neoconservatives who have long put democracy promotion at the center of their agenda.
It is the policy of the United States to seek and support the growth of democratic movements and institutions in every nation and culture with the ultimate goal of ending tyranny in our world.
The president claimed that America's relations with other governments would depend on how they treat their own people. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who is President Carter's national security advisor, says the speech sounded like a nice sermon, but as an action plan, he described it as vacuous.
The sermon can be categorical, can be abstract, it can be also extremely forceful, and as a consequence, somewhat simple. The problem, of course, in foreign policy is in the details.
For instance, Brzezinski says the Bush administration faces a dilemma when it comes to North Korea, a country that Secretary of State-designate Condoleezza Rice called an outpost of tyranny. The U.S. has had to rely on another undemocratic country, China, to achieve key U.S. goals in North Korea.
Till now, we were trying to get the North Koreans to abandon nuclear weapons. How are we going to deal with the issue of tyranny in North Korea if the Chinese are not going to be with us? This is where I think the speech, so to speak, flounders on the rocks of reality.
James Lindsay of the Council on Foreign Relations sounded equally skeptical today about what he calls the second Bush doctrine. He says the president's speech ignored an issue that has bedeviled American foreign policy practitioners, the trade-offs one makes to win the cooperation of key countries.
Looking around today, the United States relies on the work of President Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, or the royal family in Saudi Arabia, the ruling party in communist China, none of whom are going to be held up as Jeffersonian Democrats.
Lindsay argues that the administration seized on the issue of democracy promotion after failing to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
And the very fact that we are in Iraq trying to make that country work as a democracy makes it less likely that the administration is going to be putting a great deal of emphasis on democracy promotion elsewhere, simply because Iraq, as a foreign policy issue, is sucking the air out of the room.
But Joshua Muravchik of the American Enterprise Institute says the goal of spreading liberty and freedom was such a central theme in the inauguration speech, it will be hard to walk away from it.
The president has painted himself into a corner. I think it's a good corner. I'm glad he did it. He has propounded this so strongly in this speech that I don't think he's left himself any option of just abandoning it.
Muravchik says there are always trade-offs in foreign policy, but adds Mr. Bush won't be able to disregard democracy issues now as he deals with foreign countries. The president may have an early test of this doctrine when he meets next month with the president of Russia, a country that was recently rated not free by the U.S.-based democracy watchdog Freedom House. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.